Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to Guardian Talk Radio at 96.9. You can always tune in by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store, or if you're really old school, just go to the website www.guardiantalkradio.com and you can listen by clicking on the live stream button. I, tonight in the studio, have an artist with me, Tessa Whitehead, who is going to be opening her solo show tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. As always, our openings are free, i.e. there is no entry fee, and it is open to the public. You do not need to wait for your invitation. Everybody is invited. There's normally some food and some drinks, and you get to meet the artist, and you get to see the shows for free, and you get to socialize with our lovely creative community. So come on out tomorrow night, and I have Tessa in the studio to talk with us. So good evening, Tessa.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about the actual show itself, which is your first sort of major cycle of paintings in a few years, can you just tell the audience like a little bit about yourself, like how you got into art, where you studied? I don't even know. Did you go to school here when you were little, Tessa?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to...
Because I know you were born here.
Yeah, I was born and raised here. I went to St. Andrew's School.
You went to St. Andrew's.
And then I kind of figured out I wanted to be an artist pretty early on.
At school?
At school. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I don't know. I never knew I could do anything else. It's just one of those people. And I always tell people, if you could do anything else, don't be an artist. I think I was stuck. So so I went to art school. I actually went in the UK. I went to an undergraduate. I did my undergraduate degree at Central St. Martin's. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're kind of, you can do various different things. You can kind of go down a design route or a fine art route. And I just kept going down the fine art route, and no one told me to stop. Mm-hmm. And
do you wish they did?
I remember the first year out of art school, I was a little bit shocked at the, you know, your sort of limited skill set to get a job. But and then I just continued on. I went straight into a master's program at the Slade School of Fine Art, which is kind of just up the road from Central St. Martin's in London, but has a completely different vibe, much more of a painter's school. And then, yeah, I stuck around in the UK for a little while and had a studio there and taught and painted, and then came back home. And my practice diverted a little bit, and I did a few different kinds of projects. It actually started because I was I won the competition to do a big sculptural project for the Mondrian Hotel at Bahamar. And it led me to do a bunch of different kinds of projects, and I sort of left painting.
That's kind of interesting, though, that coming back to a place which, you know, the sort of conventional wisdom is everything exciting happens somewhere else, type, you know, or if you want to learn anything, go somewhere else, in a way.
Yeah.
That you came back home and suddenly had this opportunity. I mean, I know it was a very particular opportunity, the Bahama Open Call and all the commissions they did when that, but still, it's kind of interesting that you got to kind of learn somehow a new process in a way.
I actually found coming back home was really interesting for my, I mean, I never doubted it. It wasn't a surprise to me, but it also was just a fact. I came back home and had this awesome opportunity to build this really ridiculously large sculpture that actually was taken down as soon as it got put up. But that's a whole other story and apparently a really good learning lesson.
Yeah.
But I did this crazy big sculpture, which I think I would never have had a chance to work on that scale and learn that process, and worked with some really cool artists. I think because it's a small community, you get to work with really talented artists like immediately. So
when you have access to things, like you said, if you were just a person in the UK applying to an open call for a big public sculpture, it probably wouldn't go to you the first time, right? You'd have to be 10 years into your career or 15 years into your career. So it's sort of interesting how here, you know, we all have access to people that are quite high up given the size of, you know, I mean it's right that as a up and coming artist, you can sort of walk into the NAGB and talk to the chief curator or go talk to John Cox of Bahamar, people that have expertise that has been many, many years in the making. Whereas in other countries, there'd probably be kind of layers of inaccessibility before you could get to those people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that that's a really good point. I love that about the community, and I think it's one of the best qualities about our artist community that we're very like kind of we like to talk to everybody. I mean, there's never an email that comes into my I also work at the D'Aguilo Art Foundation, my money job. And there's not an email that comes into the inbox that we don't respond to like carefully. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, people really treat it like a community. Yeah. And then so I worked in different ways. And then I did a lot of collaborative work with another artist here who's farther in his career as well, Heino Schmid, which was really, really interesting for me. And then it just finally circled back.
It's kind of interesting too, though, because I've always thought about him as more of a draftsperson and a painter than as a sculptor.
Yeah.
But he's been doing a lot of sculptures recently. So both of you were kind of somehow leaving the field where you'd been the most comfortable or the most well-known. Were you growing together in that collaboration?
I think so. I think it just happened that I know for me, I came to a point in my practice where I just got a little stuck, and I got a little bit like, man, hanging out in the studio on my own every day just didn't have the same, it just had a different feeling. And maybe something similar happened to him, and just coming together to make work, it allowed us to kind of really delve into really strange and wonderful material that he would be really good at one thing, I would be better at another thing, and we sort of balanced it out, and it was a lot of fun. I don't know, I think some of the work we created was really, really strong, and some of it was just really, really fun, but I think it allowed us to kind of, it was almost like a vacation from your own art practice, which can sometimes feel a little bit laborious, and you know, there was a minute there where I was like, man, let's just be collaborative artists. And then, you know, there's also the thing of like, Heino Schmid makes fantastic work on his own. So it was like, okay, let's not take away the actual work that gets made. But it pushed everything forward for me, at least.
And then, was being in that studio, because again, this is sort of something we talk about sometimes on the show, which is the challenge we have in the community about, you know, there's not enough studio space. And when we have curators come visit who really want to do studio visits, they want to meet artists, and there's just not that many places you can go, because most people work in their backyard or in their kitchen or whatever, just because of space, because of expense. Was being part of Pop-Up and now Nine, which you actually created, we can talk a little bit about that too. Is that like an important thing for you to have this community of artists like practicing around you?
I think so. I think I'm definitely a studio artist. I think at some point you make that decision as an artist. You can be somebody who can work on project to project, and some artists do that really well. John Cox is one of those artists. I'm sure he could work every single day. He is that talented and that driven. I think he also works really high quality given a project in the middle of the week. Like, you could be like, John, I need you to create this thing. He could like think it through and go to the studio and create it. And then I think other artists like me, I need to work all the time, and like an occasional idea just flourishes in the process of making. So for me, that means I have to have a studio and a space that I like go to and just practice. Pop-Up provided that amazingly. And it was the biggest space I'd ever had, because, of course, it's a home. Pop-Up was a family home. It was John Cox's family home. And so the rooms are like larger than what you would get in a city where they make these studios that are purpose-built. And so you suddenly have like this space, and they have this beautiful garden. So you've got this like outdoor space you can work in. And of course, the weather here is ideal. So you can be outside.
And then you have people. I think that's probably important, right? For a lot of artists, is to have feedback, to have people, like you said, that you can toy around with ideas or get feedback on. Did you invite other artists that in Pop-Up, like into your studio, be like, hey, can you just take a look at what I'm doing? Because I'm stuck, or I'm having a bad day.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. And then there's also just the thing of having someone else work really hard next to you and going like, stop being lazy. get off the floor. Nadia's just made her fourth necklace for the day.
Exactly. So, what have you done?
Yeah, exactly.
And so when did you decide to open Nine, which is your own studio space, which is right next door to Pop-Up? And then at Pop-Up suffered all this damage in Matthew, was that the kind of, did you already have the idea that maybe that would be something you'd want to do? Or was that really just, okay, Pop-Up's now collapsed and I have to create my own thing? Like, what gave you the drive to go do that?
It was, Yes. So it seems like everything gets led on by like the lack of like the closing of one door. And it was, yeah, it was at Pop-Up and the hurricane, I can't remember which hurricane
it was. I
think
it was Matthew.
Hurricane Matthew came through and my studio just became like a, it was very poetic. It became like the swimming pool of Pop-Up. It was just a really odd experience. And I sort of pushed through for a while. And it was funny because I think I was making work for Volta. And so I was like, well, I've just got to push through. And I had all these like buckets everywhere. And between me and all the other artists at Pop-Up, it was like, oh, I'd call and I'd be like, oh, it's raining. Can you move the bucket like 3 inches to the left? And the table had to keep moving depending on how long the drip would go along the ceiling.
Yeah.
And it was a real like, I thought it was kind of beautiful, but it was really ruining the work. So at some point I was like, okay, this... And, you know, I had no plan, but I was like, okay, this doesn't work. You've got to admit, you've got to admit this doesn't work now, Tessa. Mm-hmm. So I packed up everything and I put it into storage and I was like, it went home. And it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? And, you know, that wonderful what do I do now moment was took a while. And then I was like, great, well, you've got to find somewhere to work. And I think I just end up ruling out all these things and then started looking around in the Chippingham area. It was always my dream that Chippingham would, I think it's such a beautiful community.
It's a beautiful area.
Oh my gosh. And I thought, how cool would it be if we could start to like walk around this area, move between spaces. Maybe we end up having a little coffee shop and kind of can exist in this space that's not public. It's not the current. It's not the National Gallery. It's just for, it's a nascent
space. It's a community space. Yeah, but it could still bring people like, because that's another thing. You know, people come to the National Gallery. They're like, where else can I go? And you know, it's really hard. You want, you know, you say, well, you could do a lick and you've got to get this bus here or you can, you know, but it's great to just be able to point people where they can meet artists. Because, again, that's so many people that come here. I mean, aside from ourselves, like we should be why we do the show, like interested in our creative community. But again, you know, like to be able to just show what we do to other people is so important. So
absolutely. So, yeah, and the space came up right next to Pop-Up, and I was able to – it was in really bad shape. So I was able to purchase it and renovate it, and now we have six artists in there, and I get to have my own space. And it's completely different to Pop-Up in the sense that it has a kind of different feel and the layout is that everybody has their own door. So although it is a community, it feels much more like individual spaces. And it's just nice to offer something slightly different. So Pop-Up's reopening now in like a month. And
which is great. Yeah. Because that those whole two blocks are going to be basically full of life and full of it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And then next door to me, someone's opening up a recording studio.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Who's doing that?
You know what? I don't know.
I have to get them on the show.
I know. I know.
The Chippingham Art Renaissance.
I know. So I have a space there.
And how do you, did you just open it up to whoever and whoever asked, like got a space, or did you just, was it people you knew? Because who's there? Delton Barrett?
Delton Barrett, a photographer.
Drew Weech, who's a everything, painter and a photographer. Heino Schmid.
Yeah.
Then there's you.
Alex Chimshula and Margot Bethel.
Oh, Alex and Margot are there too. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So once it was finished being renovated, the only person I'd had in mind for the specific space was Delton. Mm-hmm. And it's this like, it's a Junkanoo shack. So it's in the back space and it was used to make the bigger Junkanoo costumes. Mm-hmm. So it's really tall. Mm-hmm. And I put a little mezzanine level in and it just felt like a photographer's space. Mm-hmm. And my sense of Delton was that he needed his own space to invite people in and out of just feel independent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I approached him. I was like, Delton, this space was just made for
you. That's so cool.
And then everyone else just came along.
That's awesome. That's amazing that you kind of like in a way created your own sort of community. I think that's lovely. And it is very much like how our community sort of works, which is sort of organic and supportive. And so I'm speaking to Tessa Whitehead. Tessa is an artist, a painter, but also a sculptor. But she's going to be showing a new cycle of paintings that are opening at the National Art Gallery. Well, the paintings aren't opening, but the show is opening tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery from 7 to 10 p.m. Our shows are always free and open to the public, which means you can just swing on by whenever you feel like it. There are drinks and food, and the artist is there, and a lot of nice people. So Everyone is welcome. We encourage you to come to meet Tessa Whitehead. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.